Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday morning, April the 8th, 2026. 4:08:26, 10 coming up on 11 minutes past the hour here. A little bit of a chilly morning here in the central Ohio area. But you know, that's the way it goes with April. And again, hopefully the April showers we got late last week and early this week will lead to May flowers, and everything will be nice and springy as we head into the rest of the spring season. And then summer on June 21st, I think we're all looking forward to that. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about what happened yesterday. We had Sam Donaldson on the program yesterday. That was a lot of fun. And, of course, the conversation yesterday was about what was going to happen last night with Iran. The president had put a deadline on Iran. If they did not open the Strait of Hormuz by 8 o'clock Eastern time last night, that a whole civilization would be wiped out. And that's what the Truth Social Post said yesterday morning from the president. It got to be about 6:37 o'clock last night. We were about 90 minutes away from this happening. And all of a sudden, because of an intervene, I guess we could say, from Pakistan, the president decided not to go through with that as long as the Strait of Hormuz was opened up. Now, there is some question at this point, how open is the Strait of Hormuz? I'm not exactly sure if we really know at this point. Iran claimed victory last night on state television. The president claimed victory, and here we are, I guess. So I don't know that we know a whole lot more than we knew yesterday. Now, we have a two-week extension at this particular point. I guess the two-week extension, which started yesterday, which is what this ceasefire was all about, but what happens in 2 weeks? I guess a plan is going to try to be hammered out in the next 2 weeks, so we won't have any more issues there. Now, one thing that is interesting to me is that when this all started back on February 28th, the president, our president, Donald Trump, said one thing that needed to be achieved in Iran was regime change. And clearly that has not happened. They do not have a new regime in Iran. They have a new leader, but I'm not sure that they have a new regime. Their old Ayatollah was killed on February the 28th, but his son is in power now. So do they have a new regime? I don't necessarily know that they do. And honestly, that has not been mentioned a whole lot since February the 28th, that regime change needed to be happening in Iran. A matter of fact, I haven't seen that really anywhere. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now and a lot of confusion on a lot of people's behalf this morning on what exactly this ceasefire was and what it had to do with and how did we get to where we are this morning, and what all this bluster was over the last couple days. So I'm not really sure. I don't know that anybody's really sure, but maybe we'll find out as we go on down the road. Now, one thing we need to do here this morning is take a quick timeout, take a quick break here, come back in about 60 seconds, and we'll continue the program this morning. Don't you dare go anywhere.
We're having fun every day on Now with Scott Spears. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott Scott and put him on a pedestal. And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Friday.
If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24/7 with the expert help you need. Free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
All right, Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday morning, April the 8th, 2026. 17 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH talk time, and I think we got whatever problem we needed to solve out of the way there. But it is an interesting time in the world, and I would guess the best we could hope for at this particular time is that things turn out okay. You know, that sounds rather simplistic, that things turn out okay, but the way things are right now, I don't know that there's any better idea or way a way of putting this that we hope it turns out okay. Now, I do have the Truth Social post that was put out by the president last night. It was between 6:30 and 7 p.m. Eastern time before the 8 p.m. deadline. And it said, based on conversations with Prime Minister Sharif of Pakistan, and wherein they requested that I hold off the destructive force being sent tonight to Iran, and subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz, I agree to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so is that we have already met and exceeded all military objectives and are very far along with a definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace in the Middle East. We received a 10-point proposal from Iran and believe it is a workable basis on which to negotiate. Almost all of the various points of the past contention have been agreed to between the United States and Iran, but a 2-week period will allow the agreement to be finalized and consummated. On behalf of the United States of America as president and also representing the countries of the Middle East, it is an honor to have this long-term problem close to a resolution. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So, there's that. Now, there are two schools of thought here right now. And by the way, everybody that I talked to yesterday did not want the bombing of Iran to happen last night. So let's just start there. whether you are a fan of President Trump or not a fan, everybody I talked to, maybe there was somebody who wanted the bombing, but everybody I talked to did not want this bombing. Okay, so that being said, the two schools of thought here are that he was never going to bomb, that this was a tactic to try to get something done, and when we got within 90 minutes of it happening, the president did what he had to do to not make it look like he was backing off, which Sam Donaldson said on this program yesterday was a possibility of what could happen. Now, I think people are happy that that happened, but is that what happened at this particular point? I think we'll all have to make our determinations there. Was President Trump ever really going to go through with this? Because things like this have happened before. And as near as I can tell from what I was reading this morning, the Strait of Hormuz is not really free and clear and opened at this point. That Iran is still controlling this, that they are still, they really have their own sanctions in place there, and that everything is pretty much still at their whim there. I mean, they will let people through now, which I guess is a concession, but how open is it? I don't know. If you read Iran's response to this all, it's a little different than what the president was saying in his response. Now, the big thing this morning is that a lot of Democrats and some former supporters of President Trump are calling for the 25th Amendment to be invoked, which is the removal of the president because he is not well or not doing things with a clear head. Now, this is quite an eclectic group now that has called for his removal. You've got a lot of Democrats, no doubt about it, including Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has called for the 25th Amendment. But people who you wouldn't think would have called for the 25th Amendment include Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said yesterday, I believe during a post on X, that, let's see here, what did she say? I want to get her quote right here. About an hour after Trump's post on Iran, she called it evil and madness. She said the 25th Amendment needs to be invoked. Right-wing podcaster Candace Owens added that later in the morning. Anthony Scaramucci, also a former Trump aide, said, wake up, he is calling for a nuclear strike. Scaramucci said, seek the removal immediately. Let's see, who else was in here? New York Times columnist, who was a never-Trumper conservative, were calling for the 25th Amendment. This was not the 25th Amendment, but certainly a Donald Trump supporter, Tucker Carlson, on his show Monday, criticized Trump like never before. Carlson said Trump was threatening to commit a war crime, a moral crime, in Iran by attacking infrastructure in ways that would lead to mass death, and he even seemed to suggest Trump might be an anarchist, or the Antichrist, excuse me, not an anarchist. That's big. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican senator from Wisconsin, who has been a loyal Trump ally in Congress, told the Wall Street Journal that Trump loses me if he attacks civilian targets like infrastructure. So Johnson signaled he saw such attacks as indeed illegal. That's a Trump supporter. So here we are. And the calls are still coming out this morning to somebody to invoke the 25th Amendment because they feel the president might not be well. In any event, let's open up the phone line, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say on this? It's a very interesting situation. What happened yesterday, to say the very least. You want to talk about a little confusing. I think it was confusing. And how did we get to where we are? So again, the phone lines are open. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? We talked a lot yesterday about Iran and what could happen and might happen. 740-383-9944. Also, we had the Pope on Tuesday who said that threats against the population of Iran were unacceptable. In an unusual appeal, hours after U.S. President Donald Trump said a whole civilization will die tonight in a social media post, the Pope said, "Today, as we all know, there was this threat against the entire people of Iran, and this is truly unacceptable. There are certainly issues here of international law, but even more than that, it is a moral question for the good of the world's people," the Pope said. So, again, a lot of question here this morning about what happened yesterday. Now, does anybody have anything to say on the big national issue this morning? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have anything to say on that. Maybe people are just happy and passive at this point that this has seemingly gone by the wayside for the moment. But what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? Do people think a ceasefire is going to be achieved here? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't seem like both sides here feel the same way. So, what does that mean in the end? Does that mean things are going to turn out peachy? I don't know. Well, that's the national news, as it were. Also do want to mention that, we talked a little bit about City Council on Monday. And as I said on Monday, there wasn't a whole lot going on Monday. But City Council does want to change their two-year terms to staggered four-year terms. Now, again, the reasons being given for doing this are a steep learning curve with council, that it takes a long time to kind of know what you're doing, and the fact that a whole council can be wiped out in a single election. Well, I don't remember the last time a whole council was wiped out in a single election. I mean, that's pretty rare. We just had people leave City Council, like Ayers Ratliff, who had been there 20 years, Jason Schauber, who had been there over 15 years, I believe, Aaron Rollins, I believe, has been there close to 6 years now. So, I don't know. And again, the last election, I said this yesterday, the last election, only one of the ward seats was contested. So, you know, nobody ran for anything. So essentially anybody who did run got a four-year term, except Mr. Prater, who ran for re-election, and he did win. So he got a four-year term, although he wasn't able to finish it due to health issues. So I'm not sure exactly where the idea is that people are being voted out and there's a learning curve. I'm not sure I quite get that, but I guess you never know. Go ahead, caller.
I want to be brief because I want to hear what other people have to say about this. They keep saying that it's a tough learning curve, etc. I saw quite a few of them sitting up. I saw a few of them sitting up there before newly elected people, before the term started. So they were being immersed in the last few months. To his credit, Danny Clark and also Pam Larkin were up there, I'd say, midsummer on last year. So they were fully immersed in the city's business before they took their positions. And if it takes you more than, let's just say the basics, just to understand, like, the language, because, I mean, there really is a language, a different language for government accounting, but that and learning the rules of, you know, when you're supposed to talk and second motions and things like that, should that really take more than 6 months? Should it really take you 4 years to learn that? And if you haven't gotten it by the end of 2 years, do you deserve another 2 years to learn it?
Well, here's the thing, again, I come to. There are two points here.
Does that make sense, though? Should it take you that long to learn those things?
You know, I'm not sure, but I what I do think is odd is that the election...
If you're struggling to learn them, should you put more effort into it?
Well, here's the thing. People have been... It has been this way in Marion for a long time, and I cannot remember council people prior to 2020 sitting there and saying, you know, this is a very steep learning curve and we need to extend our terms because we need to learn things, or everybody might be voted out. Well, I'm confused. When was everybody voted out? All the people who came to council kind of came in different wings. And when most of these people were elected, you did have Aaron Rollins, who had been there for a couple terms. You did have
Look at the council before this one, where we only had, where we got Sean Barr, Twyla Lang, Thad Smith, Ron Prater. Who else was new? Everybody was new, just about, for three people.
Neff was not new. Rollins was not new. Schauber was not new. Ratliff was not new.
Okay, but Rollins and Neff were newer. Yes? Can we agree on that? They still had some experience.
Yeah, but again, they had been there, I'm guessing, close to 4 years. I mean, that's a four-year
term.
And
you know what? They learned, they knew the policy and procedure. They knew what to do. They didn't complain and say, oh, it's... I really royally screwed up my first two terms because I didn't know what I was doing. So if you'd give me a third term, that would be great.
And the other one was what's his name? The clerk now.
Went Pollack. When did we start?
So he had been there a while.
Extraordinarily long meetings, though. We started seeing the extraordinarily long meetings when Barr and Twyla and Thad and Prater.
That's it.
I mean,
four new members.
Out of nine.
Yeah,
that's
so
five.
Well, yeah, but if the other five can't carry it, that's not
I agree. But if there's four that can drag it out for a three-hour meeting, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be three-hour meetings, but we lost half of council not long ago, and we did see what that happened. Now, the people that are sitting up there happen to be the same ones that are saying, boy, we couldn't figure our behinds out from a hole in the ground for 2 years. Could you give us 4 year terms to do it instead?
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand. This new staggered terminology or term playbook would
I'm not against that. I'm against these people proposing it.
No, I'm confused how the same thing couldn't happen because out of the
it could.
Right. So what's the difference?
Because you could have, what is it, like 1-3 and 5 and 2-4 and 6. Is how it'll go, like evens, odds.
Right. So I mean, you could still
have you could have 2, 4, 6 that have been on there for 2 years, and 1, 3, 5 get replaced. So you're no better than you were.
No. So I'm just if people want to do this, fine. It's going to be on the ballot. I'm just confused.
It's not going to be on the ballot yet.
Well, no. I mean, it'll be on the ballot if they send it out a committee and it's passed.
Yes, they have to vote on it.
But my question is, what exactly are they trying to fix? And what exactly...
Hold on, they would need to do that soon also, because I think that would need to be to the Board of Elections by May.
I don't know. I just want to know what they're trying to fix.
Maybe not. Maybe it's August.
What
they're trying to do is prolong their political life. Remember, somebody sat up there and said political suicide, Sean Barr, and now all of a sudden they want extended terms.
Right, but I don't think it would apply to this council that's elected right now.
They get reelected, they'd get 4 year terms.
Right, but they'd have to get reelected. So if they've already committed political suicide,
they haven't had any problem the last two elections getting elected. They ran out of votes.
That's what I'm saying. If they haven't had any problem and nobody runs against them, what's the point?
Now they have a record to run on, and now people might be emboldened by the fact that we're going to likely be in fiscal watch, if not something worse.
That's the record you want to run on?
They will have someone to oppose them, and should they be able to eke one out on 100 vote turnout, they can stay in power for 4 years instead of two.
Right, but...
This is just not good with this group of people this group of people in particular, they could do staggered two-year terms if they really wanted. But this group of people wanting to seize power, it's no good.
Yeah, but see, this is what again, this is one of those things that if because they have a bad record, and as you just said, political suicide, if the Democratic Party does make a comeback because of a lot of things this fall, which is not unheard of in Marion, Ohio, if that does happen, basically you're going to put the Democrats in office for 4 years.
They have no foresight. They don't realize that some of these things that they do might actually apply to them one day, too, or might come back to bite them in the behind.
So I don't really understand. I guess I'm just trying to think back to some of the past councils prior.
We have bigger issues and bigger fish to fry than, I mean, they blamed it on the auditor. They blamed it on the treasurer. Now we're blaming it on city council doesn't get long enough to learn their job. I think if after 2 years you haven't learned the job, you don't deserve to be there for another two to try to figure it out.
Well, maybe that's true, but this seems...
Did it really take you 4 years when you're responsible for running the city? At the end of year three, should you be like, ooh, I'm glad I finally got the hang of that. Come on year four when it's time to start campaigning again.
I don't know.
Not in my opinion, you shouldn't. You should, if you are serious about being a public official, you should do what Danny Clark and Pam Larkin did, listen at me, giving compliments, and Scott Kreider did it as well. You should go up there and sit the last few months of the meetings, or better yet, Democrats start now so you're prepared for next year. Go up there, sit through the meetings, understand how the process works, understand the language, understand what appropriations mean, understand how things are asked, how these grants work. At least get a general idea. You don't have to know everything. But that way, when you walk in there on day one, you have an idea of what's going on and how things work. And it doesn't take you 6 months to learn how things work, while you're also learning how screwed up things are.
Here's the thing I don't understand. We have access to more information in a more timely manner than we ever have had before in the history of the world. And mm-hmm. yet, people from past councils who were new, everybody's new at some point, did not seem to have these problems.
They didn't have Google, and they didn't have a clerk to help them that had, you know, years of unlimited knowledge via the archives, and they didn't have, well, now there's really no experienced council members to reach out to. But yeah, before you had other people to teach you, you learned, you researched, you did your own work, and now, well, they'll just pass stuff that they haven't even read yet.
You know what else I thought about the other day, and this has been a new innovation within the last 2 years. I was going to bring this up, but I don't think we got to it. You know what? I was thinking about this Monday when the live stream went down for 15 minutes, and people were complaining that they couldn't watch it. You know, I thought in the beginning that that was a good idea to live stream those meetings because people who were invalids or who could not travel or who...
We're not using that word. We are using shut-ins or incapable of travel. I don't like the word invalid. Let's
whatever
get away
word.
From it.
What people who
yeah,
can't
let's get away
can,
from it.
People who can't get there. Okay, but that's not how it's being used. It's being used primarily, I believe, by people who just don't want to come to the meetings, but they want to watch them and critique them. And I don't think that's a good idea because you can't respond, you can't question anything if you're not in the room. And
you can be in the room and question all you want. You're not going to get any answers. So what's
well, that's
the point
fine.
Showing up?
But that's... That's fine, but also things you, everybody who's up there used to be, one of the barometers was if this is popular, if this is not popular, how many people are in the room tonight?
Yes.
How many people are going to walk up to the microphone and say, I don't like this? How many people are going to question it? And if people are watching it at home, that doesn't happen. They don't take questions from the internet, and they're not going to take questions from the internet. And I think this was kind of a backdoor way to silence a lot of people who, I mean, it is easier to sit and watch it on the internet. I did it one time. I mean, it's easier. You can save on gas. You don't have to schlep up there. But
and it's not cold. It's not dark. You don't get accosted in the parking lot. You don't get called names. The benches aren't hard. You know where all the... when you go use the toilet, you know all the behinds that have been there.
Right, but there's a... I mean,
whatever you want. It's fine to wear your pajama pants.
But what
here's
does
my
it...
thought on why people don't show up. There's something that's called a chilling effect, and I believe that our local government has had a their behavior towards the public has had a chilling effect, and a reason why people don't show up unless they're especially motivated by an issue. But let me read to you what a chilling effect is. A chilling effect, EFFECT. It's a legal and social phenomenon where individuals or groups are discouraged from exercising their freedoms, particularly free speech, due to fear of legal, social, or economic consequences, such as lawsuits or retaliation. It acts as a form of self-censorship where vague or overly broad laws and regulations intimidate people into silence.
Right, but now, but let me say,
that's what's gone on at our city councils, and why people would rather sit back,
okay,
and let other people show up and ask the uncomfortable questions, but, and then watch what happens.
But here's what happens with the live. If people want it, then they don't show up. So here's what I believe should happen, because I believe this is a bad thing. I think what should happen is what was happening prior to this live stream. I think they should be recorded audio, no video. In that, if people truly want to hear them and they're truly interested in what's going on,
I used to do it. I used to listen to them the next morning on YouTube.
And I think they should not be live. I think they should be posted the next day. And I think then, if you truly want to hear them and you truly want to know what happened, that and you truly don't want to go, you should have to wait 24 hours and just get the audio version.
I'm all for information, and if people want to sit in their living rooms and watch those meetings live, because you know what? Sometimes you need the visual to see what is going on.
Right, but that's what's...
And not just hear.
But that's what's going on.
But I'll tell you, listening, you can often figure out more of what's going on than you can if you're sitting in the
room. All I'm saying is, there's no doubt in my mind, it's deterring people who would normally show up because they do want to know what's going on, and it gives them an out not to show up. And I think that's exactly what has happened over the last 2 years.
Well, then they've gotten their chilling effect one way or another.
Well, they can always fix
it. They've not had to deal with people in person. Because you're right, if I didn't know what was going to go on, I might be more prone to go up there if I didn't have a way to access it. But again, people are interested. They are paying attention. Again, it doesn't matter if we go up there or not. And if enough of us go, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You know, sadly, that's the way I feel.
I just think it's become a show is the problem. It's become a show for people who sit at home and they watch the show. I mean, they really have no interest in participating in the show in that moment. So now it's contributed to the social media opinion comment section, and it's also contributed to people not going. And it's,
well, I think if you don't ever get up or show up or ask a question or do anything but just Monday morning quarterbacking, then yeah, that's pretty irrelevant.
Well, but I think that's what it allows people to do. I mean, I just think that this is...
Watching it at home live, for me, allows me to not have to stick myself in the line of fire. And I heard you say yesterday that you think the people that I sit with wouldn't allow anything to happen to me. And I agree with that, but why should I have to ask just other average people to risk their own safety or possibly arrest or verbal assault or anything else just to go to a council meeting?
I don't think it should, but I think what this has done by allowing these meetings to be shown live over a live feed is it has not created transparency. It's created people to be anonymous in... And essentially attend the meetings anonymously. Because they can say whatever they want, and they can come up with whatever truth that they want, and they can put it out there, and they don't even have to say who they are. At least when they were in the room and said something, if they wanted to watch it, they knew where they were in the room.
Yeah, a valid point.
And I think that's very important.
It's a double-edged sword. It really is.
But if you really want transparency, just wait 24 hours and put out the audio like you used to. If people really want information, they'll get it the next day.
I used to love doing that because then you could take it back and listen to that last 45 seconds again, or if it was something that you knew you really didn't care about, you know, like a liquor license or something like that, you could fast forward a little bit, that sort of thing. So I really wish that still existed.
Right. But again,
Lena Rose, we miss you.
I don't know why, and if you want to videotape it, even videotape it and show it the next day. Just don't do it live, because it really, I never thought about it until Monday when it was brought up that the live stream wasn't working, and I thought, well, I wonder how, it must be a large amount of people doing this, because...
A few people I know watch it.
Right. So, you know, maybe this is herein lies the problem, is that it's become a show. It's become an entertainment show, rather than, for anonymous people, rather than... actually informing people on what's going on. Because trust me, you can turn on social media any day of the week and be completely confused. I had a lady come up to me yesterday because she knew me from media and was telling me how the city, I forget what but something that was fairly current, she was trying to stretch it back to the 1980s.
Hmm.
And I thought,
yeah,
geez.
Some of the stuff is, and, you know, it doesn't help when we still have public officials going on these pages and saying, I would be all for a forensic audit back to such and such date to see where the mistakes really started. And it's like, come on, man, at what point will they stop? Will they stop instilling the fear and the chaos? And, you know, then people do tune in just to see what's being said. And, yeah, so our whole government is a reality show, sadly. And
right, it's theater. And you know what? For everybody who will say, oh, you're trying to limit people's access, again, I did say within 24 hours they need to be put up online. Yes,
I'll put it up by the next morning.
Right.
I mean,
Also, by the way, I don't hear anybody grunting and groaning because the commissioner's meetings are not live streamed. You want to know why? Because nobody's going to sit there at 9 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday morning and watch those things, but people don't care about that.
I do wish there was a way to access those after the fact, though. Like, I wish that they had a YouTube where we could listen to the recordings or something like that. Those meetings aren't convenient, but I also feel like maybe they planned that for a reason. But I do wish there was some way to access those. But no, I don't believe at 9 a.m. I would be live streaming them. It's the same reason that no one goes at 9 a.m. because they're all doing other things.
And are planning commission meetings live streamed?
No.
So again, we're not, the only thing we're live streaming is the show, which has become a show. And that's the problem. So unless you want to live stream everything, or you want to make it less of a show, I just think there's something wrong with the way this is working now, and I think
you
it has hurt.
You want to be bored out of your gourd, watch a city planning meeting. Unless it's one of those
ones
that they're trying to...
Right, but you don't have to watch
it. Unless they're trying to sneak something underneath the... Yeah, because I used to listen to those, because those are really boring. And those you should be allowed to eat snacks and wear pajama pants and et cetera, for.
Well,
now we don't even have access to those. All we have are those are meeting minutes, unless we ask for the recording.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but I'm not totally sold on this live streaming thing because I think it has hurt people's attendance. I think it has allowed people to be anonymous, and I think it has ultimately led to more misinformation than information.
I believe that there's a good portion of truth to the misinformation, what you just said.
And that's a problem.
So people get it twisted, as the kids would say.
There you go. Hey, thanks.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines again are open here. For Mary out there listening this morning, she says, shouldn't you know how to do your job if you're running for it? Well, you know, I guess that's a nice thought on the whole, that people would know what they're doing if they're running for it. But unfortunately, that does not seem to be happening. I think some people know what they're doing when they run for it and make it their business to try to know what's going on. You can't learn everything. It really can't if you've never been on council or a county commissioner or whatever. But it's interesting. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind at this particular point. I think it's very telling that I would say attendance has went down since the videos are live streamed. And I think if your goal is to have people participating in government, I'm not sure that live streaming these things does that. Now, it's highly unlikely they're going to stop live streaming them. But I'm not sure if that was the best way to we just are a society right now that would rather watch something than be at something. We tend to choose the easier way. And if you're not in the room, you can't ask a question. If you're not in the room, you can't talk to your council person. If you're not in the room, you can't talk to the mayor. If you're not in the room, you can't see what's going on. I mean, there were only two cameras. It's not even like you can see the whole room anyway. I don't know. I think it's different. But we'll see what happens as we mow on down the road here. All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And there are a lot of people who do know what they're doing on city council. So, I mean, there's that. It's not like nobody knows what they're doing. I think there are a lot of people who are aware of what is going on. And there used to be the idea that you might ask a seasoned council member a question. If you don't know what's going on. I don't know why that doesn't happen anymore. I don't know why people don't go to another council person that's been there longer than them and say, hey, you know, help me out with this one. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
On the whole learning curve and all that, I mean, I'm not an all or nothing person, so I think it's good to have new blood coming in, and it's good to have old blood apprentice, you know, run it kind of like an apprentice program. We had a county commissioner in Dr. Davis who has been on your show multiple times, and every time I believe that he's been on your show, he has admitted that in his time in office, he has not done the work to gain the knowledge or the understanding of his job. This is coming from a doctor. This is coming from somebody who is an educated man and supposedly understands the power and the necessity of the education and bringing up ourselves up to speed, because he mentions it so often. On top of that, he is endorsing Christy Neff, who on an issue with her job as a treasurer for another candidate, had issues with the accounting, and her response was ignorance of the rules. Do we really want people who say they haven't stepped up to the plate in the job that they sought after from the voters and promised the voters that they would fight for them? Do we want to go with the endorsement of a man who repeatedly says, I didn't step up the plate and never said he was going to? He actually said, I'm willing to quit to go take another job that I'm not qualified for. So then he endorses Christy Neff. So do we want more of the same?
Well, you know what's interesting on the Dr. Davis case? Because I will say this. I hear what you're saying about this, and I can understand why a lot of people would be disturbed by the things that he says. But on the other hand, politicians are criticized a lot for not being honest, and they're criticized a lot for not doing media, and they're criticized a lot for not being square with the people. Now, one thing I can say in the 4 years of Dr. Davis is he rarely turns down a media appearance. If he doesn't know the answer to something, he gives the answer that you say. He says, I need to look more into that, or I haven't studied that enough. I can't say that he's not being honest, but now he's being...
No, he's absolutely being honest, and I'll give him absolute credit there. But he also doesn't step up to the plate. I get it. If he said at the beginning of his term at some point, you know, I'm not there yet, and I came in and I was a newbie, I was green, but, you know, in the midst of, and to admit that you are not stepping up to the plate, and I will give credit there. As I said, I'm not an all-or-nothing person. If we want to sit down and pick apart every candidate, I guarantee you there will be each candidate or each person who was in office that I will be able to say, yeah, I agreed with this, I didn't agree with this. So I think we want people that are honest. I think we want people that do interviews, but we don't want fake it to make it. We don't. He understands that he needs to do those radio interviews. He understands. Dr. Davis is an attention hound. He loves the attention. That's so much of a lot of the politics today, is people get in for the attention and they don't want to do the work. I want people, I don't give a shit whether they look good, sound good, whatever, do the work. If they do the work and they get results, I'll vote you back in office up until your term limit comes up.
Well, I think it was clear to a lot of people, this is Dr. Davis's first term and will be his only term. It seems as if, and I can't speak for Dr. Davis, but, you know, this is a man who came from the medical profession. He certainly didn't need the money to be a county commissioner. And it seems as if once he got in there, maybe this was not a job that was suited for him. And the first chance he got the opportunity to leave that job, he is.
Do you think it's a smart leadership decision to then, or in the midst of, say, hey, I'm not doing the job I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not stepping up to the plate, but I'm willing to quit this job, and I'll take on another job that he admitted he didn't have any formal training on. You know, we were hounding the people who were in office about their ineptitude and their inexperience, but he was willing to accept a job, and I'll give credit for Mayor Collins for standing up immediately after that. The next day we had, or 2 days later, or whatever, a weekend later, and said, that's not happening. I mean, again, to me, it just says, it just speaks to Dr. Davis. I met Dr. Davis a year or so ago, and we're not going to get into it, but he's an attention hound. He's an attention seeker, and that's all, he's all talk.
Well, and it very well could be. All I'm saying is that I believe there are other people who probably feel the exact same way that he does, and there are other people who have the exact same knowledge of what's going on that he does. They just don't say it. They're just not as honest. They try to pepper over it.
Oh, I agree with that. Again, like that, he has points. Again, we all have good and bad. We got to say, does the good outweigh the bad? I think in today, in a religious fashion, or with the Christians and all that, and Donald Trump, so many people can say, well, this is bad about Trump, and I wouldn't want that in, you know, my life, but look at the good he does. I want to remind all those Christians and those Republican Christians that good works avail you of nothing. And, you know, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. You know, your reward is in heaven. Your reward here on earth is status and look at me, and I get to hang out with the in crowd, or I go to Aruba, or I go to wherever. I mean, just be careful what you wish for and be careful what you're chasing, because, you know, a lot of these people say they serve God and they're serving man.
I have a question on that. We got about 90 seconds left to go here before the break, but on the whole thing last night with the United States backing off with 90 minutes left to go, now do you believe a ceasefire deal was gotten, or do you believe Trump had no intention to do anything last night anyway?
I believe he choked. I believe he manipulated the markets. I believe that's what this presidency is about. I believe he's going to stir up as much turmoil as he can. I believe Mr. Trump is like a lot of the men today about their women. If I can't have you, nobody will. And his woman is America. And if he can't be the king, if he can't be the leader, you know, forever, the dictator, whatever, he's going to take us out. And if in the process he can start the holy war or Armageddon, I'm not saying he is. I'm not trying to fearmonger. But I'm saying in his own mind, if he's the start of that, and that's the, I think he knows he's dying. I think he knows that he's at the end of his term in life, and you know what? What's he got to lose? He's serving man. He made the choice to serve man. I think he made a deal with the devil and got into the presidency, and yada yada yada. And this presidency is people in his administration. You know, there's no honor among thieves. and they're raping the American system. You know, Doge, it's coming out that, like, some of the people that went into Doge, wow, they kept people's social security numbers, and they kept stuff on thumb drives. Wow, that, you got to be like a super genius to figure that out, wouldn't you?
It's interesting. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Have a great day.
All right, and here comes the break. We'll be back right after this.
Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end, it doesn't matter. But it's just whatever you think.